Okay, whenever you're ready, go ahead and go.
Hi, this is Wendy Wright from financialtherapysolutions.com, and you are listening to Vroom Vroom Veer with Jeff Smith. We're reminding you that you can heal your money story with my financial therapy approach.
Well done. You know, you didn't screw up at all, so good job.
I tried.
I don't think you did, but that's okay. All right, let me hit stop. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Are you ready to thoughtfully steer away from your revved up, frenzied, and far too often scripted life? Then welcome to Vroom Vroom Veer with Jeff Smith, where he guides you down the road differently traveled by sharing unique experiences with guests who have managed to shift away from a life stuck on cruise control and veered their way into a more authentic and fulfilling one in all sorts of interesting and kind of remarkable ways. Get ready to vroom vroom veer with your differently traveled road chauffeur, Jeff Smith.
Shooter, thank you so much for being on Vroom Vroom Veer, and welcome to the show. Thanks for being here. How's it going?
It's good. Thank you for having me. I'm excited. Get to talk about being a mental health warrior today.
Yay! So you are at BruceShooter.com, and talk about your mental health warrior program or whatever else you want to talk about.
Okay. Well, we'll jump into what the program's just a little bit about.
Sure.
And the idea is, when you become a mental health warrior, we're doing two things. One, we're sort of turning mental health onto a positive track, as opposed to everybody else's mental health. You think, oh, what problems do you have? Oh, I feel sad.
Yes.
I'm taking it the other direction. And I'm only taking it that way because I went through the sadness, went through the struggles,
right,
found a better way. There's all this power in mental health. And being a warrior, again, it allows you to set and control the direction of your life. It gets exciting. And that's something else that I often find in mental health. We don't get too excited about it. Okay, sure, we need to do something. Right. You're saying, well, I should be happy every day or something like that. But what do I really do about it every day? So the Mental Health Warrior Program is something, it's built on everyday activities and all the things a warrior can do, all things you can do. And it's exciting to take care of your mental health, build strong mental health, and triumph over any challenge that life throws your way. Because that's the biggest thing, is we never know, obviously with your show name, which I love, is where it's going to veer.
That's
and
true.
It always veers.
even when
you have it figured out.
Yes. Yeah. You never have. You know when you'll have it figured out? When you're dead.
Exactly. That's, no more veer.
that's the end of veering when you're dead. Yes.
Yes, exactly.
And you know, then something else will come, probably.
Yeah, exactly. There will be another.
Then you'll wake up in a vat of goo. And you'll be in the matrix.
But for now, the good part is we can be mental health warriors.
Yes.
And the good part is what I found was I was basically able to turn my life around. And as a result, I started building and writing books on being a mental health warrior and putting this structure together. And the reason I want to mention that is we say program, and this is not a program where it's a strict follow the rules type program. It's a program you weave into your life. And it allows you to do different things in order to take care of your mental health. And there's all these areas of our life that we can use
as warriors. You can just pick and choose like as you can fit it in kind of thing.
Exactly. Within this structure of being a warrior.
Yeah. I think it's a really good. Yeah. One of my favorite books from way back when is The Way of the Peaceful Warrior. There's a movie.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That was a great movie.
It was.
And again, it's not about fighting life anymore. We're not about even fighting the challenges, but we're still like able to triumph over them.
Yeah, it's more like you're fighting like your own demons almost. It's like your own like bad nature. That's not right.
No,
your own human nature. How's that
exactly
sound?
Exactly.
Your proclivities to, you know, go down the wrong path almost.
Right. And the big part of this was for example, personally, I struggle with bipolar disorder.
Right.
I struggle with alcoholism, anxiety disorders, a couple other disorders probably thrown in there that are official.
Right.
But they're not going away. And I can't just,
you just have to deal with them.
I'm just going to triumph and never have to deal with it. Exactly. I'll be dealing with them forever. But when I'm in control, when I can handle my emotions, my bipolar can send me different directions, but I can handle wherever it sends me. No longer does it control and then in turn cause problems or issues.
Right. That's huge.
So
that's
it's very exciting. And that's why, just as you mentioned with the program, there's books. And right now I've got actually 9 books out because there's so many things in the day that you can do in so many areas of our life. So they touch on all these different areas of your life.
Right.
But also, because I kind of liken it and make a joke about it, but I have multiple challenges. So I wanted to be prepared. I'm like, I need a lot of books and a lot of tools. But I find a lot of other people are like that. I mean, very rarely one little thing in your life go, well, we got a little blip here. Usually it's, here's a blip. And like you said, the veer, and you got 20 blips. And all of a sudden you got all these problems.
Right. Yeah. So more tools is always better.
Exactly.
More tools is always better.
And again, it's supposed to be something, again, you weave throughout your day into your life. And the whole concept of the warrior is it's something that doesn't interrupt your day. I'm not saying that there isn't a place for going to a doctor or counselors and things like that. But there's all this, what do I do every day? What do I do when it's 2 a.m? Totally. My mind's racing. I can't call anybody. I don't know where to go. You know, it's 2 a.m.
Right, so
that's what I'm trying to show people. They have power over all those times.
Bigger toolkit.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, let's get into this because I know just reading your about page on your website, which is great, by the way.
Thank you.
I'm like saying, okay, yeah, I did that. Oh, yeah, okay, I did that. Yeah. So I see a lot of me in your story. And the thing that I said was my consequences were slightly less severe than yours, but that makes sense because, you know, undiagnosed bipolar. Bipolar is a very extreme disorder.
Yes, exactly.
Let's just say that. I had a friend who was bipolar. And when she was okay and on meds, fine, right? Not fine.
right.
Not fine at all, you know, and not pretty, you know.
And a lot of times, like what happened with me when you start out, of course, you don't even know what you have. You just know something's off.
Right.
And that's where it started. And again, it pushes you to do things, and somewhat my personality, but like you want to be super involved in life. You want to do things. So in high school, I'm jumping into things, but unknowing to me, I'm jumping in the deep end of the pool of emotions and life, not being prepared to even swim, you know, as an analogy.
Right.
And of course I'm floundering. Like you said, I'm running around like crazy and things. So
sure. Yeah. I think, again, I think everybody does that. Right. The difference with somebody with bipolar is the consequences are way like a lot of people will like go off and drink too much. Right.
Yep.
I did that like every weekend. That's what and where I grew up in high school. Right. Doing what you did was called Friday night. But I didn't go to jail. Right. I didn't end up in a 3-day hold in the psych ward.
Right.
Right. It was because, you know, A, everybody was doing that, and B, I didn't have bipolar, right? So that's the way, you know, but I did it, you know. Drinking when you're sad, that's everybody does that.
right. Yeah. And what happened was, like, with my story, I got involved with the rescue squad when I was 16.
Right.
And
so that's crazy.
That's where I was like jumping into the emotions and the adult.
And that is
thing,
definitely the deep end of the pool for sure.
Yeah. And that's where my first call. Doing CPR on someone and not having them survive that, unfortunately, you know, but then the calls and calls that went on after that, because I just seemed to always hit those type of calls, like our Saturday nights or something where we're super busy. But I also went on and became an EMT, and I was even driving the ambulance at 18 while I'm still in high school.
Wow.
Because we were volunteering. There was other people with me who were the same age.
Right.
But we were going out on calls with a drug overdose or somebody who actually is having a heart attack in the middle of a golf course.
Right.
And you're trying to save them and the situations. And it was so over the top that, of course, what it did is it's like it took the bipolar and all the emotional swings and now made everything even worse.
Right.
So that was like an invitation. Like you said, you start drinking, maybe that'll help medicate.
Right.
And the thing is at the time too, because this is years ago, people weren't really as aware, and nobody knew really how to deal with this. I mean, we're talking such serious level things and serious calls that the whole crew, no matter what their age, we would be just sort of stunned by life.
Totally. Yes.
And when you start out that way, the whole slope is going, you're super involved in life. And I kept moving along. And I love your analogy because I could see my life brooming along. You know, I went to high school, did all these things, went to college, still involved with this type of activities. Every minute, every day is like supercharged.
Okay.
And like you're saying, you just keep moving along. And throughout college and all of this, what I found though is I'm just looking for more and more ways to hide from my emotions. It's like I am so afraid of my emotions. And some of it comes from a chronic condition like anxiety disorders,
right,
which naturally is fear. I call it like fear and worry about everything. I mean, it doesn't discriminate. You're just,
yes.
Why wouldn't I worry about it? You know, my wife will laugh sometimes because she'll say generalized anxiety disorder. That's the name of it, but she'll just say it. I know exactly what she means. She's like, why are you worrying about this? And I'm like, because it's there, you know, yeah,
that's my thing. Okay.
Yeah. A lot of people are like that. And yes. A lot of times,
right.
Also situations will make it like that. I mean, you know, you have a hiccup or lose a job or some financial change, and all of a sudden you're going to start worrying about everything.
Right.
But my path is going up this way, like you're describing, and I'm zooming along. I get out of college. I go into IT field, making my mark, you know, trying to do things, going on trips. And again, at this point, this is where I'm traveling around with the Coast Guard and at their different bases. I was okay. A contractor. So working right. With them, seeing all sorts of interesting, varied lifestyles, you know, going out on a boat to see if our software works. So I'm getting all these experiences.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. But right. At the same time, I am more and more unable to handle those emotions. It's right. Like I'm retreating and just bottling it up. Don't know that the bipolar's, you know, how it's going on, not even trying to deal with it because, again, very little information out there. Certainly no right. Open talks.
Right.
Unless you count, you know, the evil villain in the movies that always has some mental health challenge
right.
Or something.
Right.
Like
and
that.
He's evil because he's right. He's ill. Right.
But you just don't talk about this.
Right.
And that's where you get into what I like in this was here I'm zooming along and the consequences mirror that. And that's where I'm starting to hit these consequences. That's where I'm starting to,
yep.
You know,
you start bouncing off the walls of reality, so to speak.
Right. Or I'm going to a hold in a jail cell for a weekend because I just checked out, you know, with alcohol or because again, I went off the rocker on bipolar and I used to try to like buy my way out of depression like a lot of people have.
Okay.
You know, if you're depressed, you buy something, you get a quick dopamine hit. You're like, boy,
oh,
I can make
right. Right. Wow.
But then
okay. I never really made that like connection there.
Yeah. It's a lot of people use that. They go out and search for something. You go out
we
and
call
do something.
We call that retail therapy.
Yes. You got retail therapy or you got even the thrill seekers. I'm going to go out and jump off a cliff or something, you know, crazy.
Right.
Get the excitement. But then a lot of times you get that crash, which is even worse, and again, you bring in more problems, especially if you're buying stuff, all that.
Right.
So then a lot of times what happens is it just spins your head into such a cycle, and you start being unable to handle things, and that's where I like into where I got into like some 72-hour holds.
Right.
I mean, not things that, of course, you'd want to let anybody know about while you're in your job 9 to 5,
totally.
But what'd you do for the weekend?
Right,
you know, a fantastic story you got that you do not want to tell.
Yeah.
You know, there's a story.
Right.
Well, how was your weekend? How was your long holiday weekend? Well, thank God it was a holiday so I could get evaluated. You know?
Wow. Yeah.
That was the insanity of what was going on,
sure.
Literally, because I was afraid of my emotions. You know, I'm just so
powerful. Right.
And I also tell you, then it just culminates. It's like all that pressure, and like you talk about, you try to deal with things, but it just keeps pounding on top of you. And what happened was I get to like 40 years old, and I'm
brutal. All the way to 40. My goodness.
And I'm undiagnosed. So
you've had a job in IT, you've gone through college, and you've had this job for 20 years-ish plus?
I'm 15, 20 years in there.
Okay.
Bought some house, got into some real estate, buying real estate rental.
So from the outside, you look more or less normal.
Oh, yeah, everything's going great. People are saying, you have multiple cars. Wow, must be great life.
Yeah.
And inside,
right.
No matter what we did, it was terrible feeling.
Yeah.
And I couldn't control it. I couldn't even make decisions half the time because I'm so afraid of making the wrong, the anxiety.
Yeah.
I'm also so filled with like almost like rituals, if you will, where you have a big meeting coming up and you're like, okay, the only way to do this is to like go through these steps in order to tamper down the anxiety. Like I used to try to, if I had a huge meeting, I would almost stay up all night because I was so filled with energy and nervousness. But of course, that's the absolute worst way to be prepared for a meeting. But you're also so hyped up, you can do well. You know what I mean? It's a hilarious game when you look at it from the outside. You're thinking, what the heck were you thinking?
See, but you got perspective now, right?
Yeah.
Because you couldn't see that yourself from the outside when you're in it.
No, you just keep trying to deal with things.
Right.
And one of the things I liken it to is that A lot of the people I met in at different times, like with recovery and attempts to try and do recovery or other troubles, you know, where I went with other people, bipolar, is they're like the most creative people I've ever met, because okay. their life is always like shifting around on them. And yet they find the most clever ways to manage the day or get through a job or manage a tough meeting.
Sure.
I didn't just bail on them. I just found my ways to get through them. Okay. And it was just almost so painful. That it was like, you know, it was just a terrible experience, but it could have been just great.
Yeah. So this is one of those things where when I was depressed / that led to suicide mm-hmm. attempts, right? Yep. I remember having, talking to people on the phone or like work things, life things, right? And then saying like, oh, what should we do about that, right? And then they're asking me to commit to a decision, right? And I don't want to do either one of those things, right? But I pick one and say, well, let's do that. And then in my mind, I'm going, I really don't want to do that. But I'll be dead anyway, so I won't have to pay off that.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, because again,
I did that, yes.
Spending money up until I was 40 and things, it was like, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to survive at this rate. You know, those type of fatalistic view.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's where it got to the point where I didn't want to be part of this life anymore.
Right.
And I rolled the dice one day.
Right.
And I also placed a phone call and somebody got me help, but I was kind of like, you're just ambivalent. You're kind of like weighing the odds. I don't know which way it's going to turn out, you know, almost.
Wow.
Because that's where it leads you.
Yeah.
And then I got a second chance and
you survived.
I was like,
good.
I got to find a solution. You know, I'm going to find a solution. I mean, that's just it.
Yeah.
And that's where I got a diagnosis. I started realizing all these things like, wait, if I get a diagnosis, that's actually a starting point. It's not a negative. I mean, I can actually explain something. I can actually use the research and find out what bipolar does as opposed to guessing, you know, all that time.
Yes.
And
more options, more tools.
Right.
Yes.
Again, more understanding, more knowledge.
Right.
And it started this whole, let's take charge of things. And so I started doing all these lifestyle changes. I started out with therapy and meds and things like that. But the problem was I got to a point where it was so much that I didn't have a life anymore. Mm. It was like I was on recovery. I'm doing better, but there's no time because everything's tightly controlled. How am I supposed to go out and have a weekend away? I got to worry about everything, you know, and
I'm too busy worrying.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. I'm too busy with appointments. I'm too busy with group sessions. I'm not putting it all down, but I was like, there has to be a balance and there has to be stuff I can do myself again, because I might go to a therapy appointment on a Thursday and then not have one for another month.
Right.
And I'd be like, it's just their schedule.
That's not enough, right?
And what do you do though, too? You're like, what do I do? You know, everything's great when you're in there, of course. And everything's great the minute you leave. But then an hour later, something goes wrong and you're like,
now what do I do? Thing. Yes.
Yeah.
So that. Yes.
Yeah. And then you know what I mean? It started this whole thing of, wait a minute, let's turn this on the kind of like flip it around and make this mental health warrior idea. And look at all these things we can do, you know, from somebody on the inside, somebody who uses all this stuff.
Right.
And the only reason I'm here today, because, you know, that was 20 years of basically my challenges running my life. And that's the biggest part I want to tell people in the story is it's like for 20 years, they told me almost what to do. You know, the depression, if it wasn't that, it was the alcoholism. Everything revolved the whole day around handling those challenges.
Yeah. You're just actually trying to get to back to okay. Cause you screwed yourself up so much.
Right.
It's like being, like I can relate. A good analogy would be like, I really have to drink, you know, cause the pain's too much. And I know I'm going to be hungover, so I'll have to deal with that. Right.
So you schedule the day around that.
Yeah,
you know, I have to get my work done so I can drink. I have to find time
Then I have to make time to recover from my hangover.
Exactly. Exactly. It's a never-ending cycle.
Right. So, So you're turning it – when you turn it around, I think, like, I took a philosophy class in Hawaii. And this was about – so Hawaii was about the time that I did – my suicide depression episodes.
Okay.
And she was like, the only way through some sort of emotional pain, I guess, I'm paraphrasing now because I don't really remember. But the important thing was you can't go around it. You can't avoid it. You can't like walk away. You have to go through it.
Yep.
And that was the very first time I heard an adult person, you know, and college professor, right? So right. smart, right? Say, oh, you actually have to deal with your life. I was like, huh, novel concept. That can't work.
It's hard because we're kind of all put on autopilot. You just get so busy. You just yes. keep doing things. They just happen, like you're saying.
Yeah. yeah
and
yeah.
then
it's easy to say to go through it. You know, to feel it.
Yeah.
I think you don't actually do it until you're forced to, I think. I didn't deal with an emotion until like I had to, right? Oh, I better like maybe I'll try. Yeah. Maybe I'll try to go through this and see what happens.
Yeah. And the problem is that this is what woke me up too, was that they're everywhere. I mean, I thought, oh, it's just the EMT stuff, or oh, it's just those tragic circumstances. But it's really there are emotions going to a regular job in a regular company. You know, you have meetings, you have deadlines, you have concerns, interactions with people. And it's like, I just realized, and that was my biggest thing, was wow, the center of everything in life is our emotions. Right. And here we're avoiding them. Here we don't even talk about it. You know, if you broke a leg, you'd be like, hey, let me tell you the great story about me skiing. I did this. I broke the leg in five places. Somebody's going, enough. But, you know, you don't want to tell them about your tragic emotional experience. And then very hard to do that. So
yeah, I get
that's where, you know, with the Warrior, we're trying to get people talking, like you said, a face up to things. And the best part with the Warrior is, and my whole approach, if you will, is my analogy for it is I like to tell people, if you've ever watched a sports game, maybe it's soccer or maybe it's a football game,
right?
But somebody gets the ball deep in the one end zone or down at the field and they weave throughout it. And that's the best part of getting through life's challenges. They don't really just run down the field. It's very rare that somebody could run over every player. Eventually you get some big players and you just won't get through them.
Yes.
But if you weave around them, you still triumph. You still can get through it.
Yes.
And that's, It's like how, you know, my bipolar may send me into depression all day today.
Right.
You know, for no reason, because it just does that, whether it's a chemical imbalance or it's just how it works.
Right. It doesn't go away. You have to deal.
Yeah.
Right.
But if I can handle it, I still triumph. I still get stuff done. I can still pace myself through it, you know. And then tomorrow, like I always tell people too, the other thing is tomorrow is built on today. Mm. So if we take care of things today, we start out again, like we were talking, not in a deficit from all our bad actions the other day. Yeah,
you know, I can just go through like the list and they're all on your website. So let's just start knocking these out. So like so this is way after my depression, way after suicide attempts, but I was just like, I don't know how to describe this, but like fat, sick, and nearly dead, just not healthy, right?
Yep.
From the standard American diet, as they call it, right? And I went on a trip to hang out in Portland, and Portland is a very walkable city.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided not to get a car and just walk around and take public transit. And I got there, and I'm trying to do this, and I can't. I'm in so much physical pain, like my feet, my legs, my ankles, everything is just like, I walk for a couple hours and everything is swollen. And I'm like, not even 40. I'm like, something's wrong with me. Right. You know,
it's the cascade. I mean, if you have those struggles and then of course you don't have time to deal with like eating right. You
certainly
don't have time to maybe exercise.
I never even considered eating right, to be honest with you.
Okay.
until that,
right.
You know, I was like, why, you know, this isn't normal, right? I have other friends, you know, it just so happened that those other people were eating a much healthier diet.
Yeah.
So I asked them, how come you guys can walk so much? And they're like, I don't know. Right. But you know, they asked me, what are you eating? I'm like, what do you mean? What am I eating? Are you vegan? No, no. Oh, do you eat like a lot of junk food? Yeah. That's why. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, absolutely. It's a lot of the things that are like right in front of us, like you're saying, like, oh, it's right here, but I don't see it.
Totally.
And that's where, again, this whole, ever since I've been doing this now for like 16 years, is this building this warrior program and kind of like learning it and stuff.
Right.
I keep even still finding things that are so obvious in front of me. And then I'm like, wow, that affects me. And I didn't even realize how much, you know. And one of the things that I found, that we have found years into my recovery, was, you know, we had gotten a decent sized house. We had all these collectibles because we lived up in New England at one point, got into collectibles, had an antique store on the side, if you will.
Wow. Okay.
And we had a big yard, several acres. Wow. So you got to spend like a whole day Saturday doing that and the flower beds, because we're also like trying to make it perfect, if you will.
Sure.
And all of a sudden I realized,
well, you're living the dream, you know.
I'm living the dream, but I'm like, none of it's making me happy.
Right.
On a Saturday, do I have time to go ride bikes when I see some of my friends go ride their bikes, you know, or do I have time to go on a hike or something?
Right.
And I'm like,
you've given yourself
time?
Way too many jobs. Yes.
And that's the problem. I realized all these things. And what happened was I realized how much the material goods, and that's where I wrote, I'm leading into a book because I can't help it, because this
go for
is,
it. Yeah.
But the book is called The One Bag Life.
I love
and what
it.
I asked the question was myself. I said, what if I could fit everything that makes me happy in one bag? Well, that's certainly not going to be material stuff. And the cool part was I realized less stuff, more experiences, how I described the book.
Nice.
And it's the way I live today. And we live this one bag life. Now, obviously, we don't have one just bag because we do have a big couch and, you know, decent sized TV, and that wouldn't fit all in that little bag.
Sure, sure.
But what we prioritize each day and has made a huge mental health difference and enjoyment is experiences. Mm. You know, like you're talking, going out and doing things with friends, even the simplest things, which before I couldn't do because either like at nights, I certainly couldn't go out at 8 o'clock to go get a soda because I'm deep into drinking or I'm deep into depression.
Yeah. Right.
You know,
yeah.
I could like get up, go get a soda at McDonald's with my wife and check in and see how our day went. And to me, I'm sitting there stunned. I'm like, this is the greatest experience in the world, because for 20 years, I couldn't even do something that simple.
Right. Yeah. What would life be like if I weren't drunk all the time? Right.
Yeah.
Because you're planning your life like, oh, I can't drink now because I have to go do this thing. Right.
Yeah.
So then I'll get drunk later.
Or maybe I'll be too stressed about the event anyway, because I'm too nervous about everything. So if I can't manage my anxiety.
Right.
I can't go to these big events on the weekend. So.
Right. Right.
In the house. So, yeah. So
that's cool.
Really...
You got to the, what are they? There's a movement about what you just said. The one bag life has a name. Minimalism.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah. I'm a lazy minimalist, but I like spiritually I'm with you. Like I don't want to do the toy shopping for for the sake of dopamine, as they say.
Right.
I don't want to do that. So like I'll buy tools, I'll buy games, I'll buy things that make me happy, but I don't break the bank. You know what I've also found that is really, really fun that I never thought would be fun? I like to call it treasure hunting, but it's basically just going to garage sales with my wife.
Okay.
It's so fun. Cause it's when you do find that treasure, it's so much more rewarding.
Yeah.
And it's so much
slope,
cheaper. Huh? So much cheaper. Oh,
that's
no,
true.
No. I get what you're saying. You don't want to go out there and just start buying the whole neighborhood. That's not the point. Like you say to yourself, you know, I really want a little fireplace in my patio, right?
Yep.
But I don't want to pay $150.
Gotcha.
Right?
Yeah.
So I put it on the list and it'll happen when it happens.
Yeah.
That's the kind of treasure hunting I do.
That's perfect. Because that is what I say.
That's healthy shopping.
Everything should have a value. Like
yes.
It should bring you that happiness. And what you're describing does. I was thinking when we used to do it, like we'd start collecting something.
No.
You know, certain china or something. And then you have a room of it. You're never even going to use it.
Yeah.
You never had formal dinner parties or anything.
Right. Actually, I learned that lesson like in a hilarious way. So, I was in the Air Force 20 years, right?
Yep.
Every time you move, right, movers will come to your house and they'll inventory your house and they'll put these little inventory stickers on all your stuff.
Okay.
Okay. So I don't know when, but probably about when I got married-ish, somewhere around 93, 94, 95, that time frame. Yep. My wife and I, because it's what you do, we went out and bought some china.
Okay.
Because that's what people do, right?
Right.
And we had three or four boxes of china unopened with like seven, you know, moving stickers on it.
Right.
So we're basically owning this shit to carry it around the world.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that was easy to convince my wife to sell it too. I'm like, look at these stickers. Is that seal broken? No.
Yes.
I don't think we're going to use it.
Yeah. You collect stuff. People, you know, people in your family will give you stuff. And it's so easy these days to find yourself with so much stuff. And then I realized what a toll it was taking on me.
Right.
And if you're always needing more too, like there's just the two of us and we need a bigger house, you know, because we have so much stuff or so many toys.
Right.
And then you start to realize I never have time to use them. And it's causing me stress financially, mentally because of all that.
Yeah, totally.
So that was another area. And it's funny because then things like you were saying, one of the books I put out recently too was another thing that's right in front of us. Like we were just talking about is food.
Yes.
And I came up with the three food rules of a mental health warrior.
I love it.
Because again, there are mental health benefits from food and from, like you said, you get a little more fit physically, the physiological, but you get the angle, which of course just makes you feel better and boosts your mental health. Yeah. And I just found it so exciting because I'm like, well, first off, who doesn't like to eat? I mean,
you eat all the time
and it's enjoyable to talk about. It's fun and you can still have fun eating for your mental health.
Yes.
But there's certain, I came up with these three rules to follow to make it healthy and get you the benefits, but not to limit you. I mean, none of what I'm trying to do is limit anybody, certainly myself even. Because the whole point is, like you're saying, we want to be out there living and doing stuff.
I looked at that book and I was like, that's exactly what I did, right? It's like three things. You can't have too much sugar. Just try to eliminate sugar. Like the thing that pisses me off the most, like, is orange juice.
Oh my God.
Right? Yes. Like people go out for breakfast and they order orange juice. And I'm like, you know, that's just a big glass of sugar.
It's really bad for you. I'm glad somebody said it. It's great. It's true.
Don't drink that. I just want to slap you.
It's the same with the other rule is no carb.
Right.
And it's because carbs convert over to glucose.
Right.
Again, sugar.
More sugar. Right.
So again, we go out and eat this fully loaded thing and woo, the body just says, wow, I've got so much energy.
So
what do I do with it?
The last one is processed foods. And, you know, there's a lot of bad things in processed foods, but I think the worst thing, and, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, internet, but to me, like when somebody said, I don't remember who it was, but if you said it, thank you. A preservative, another word for preservative, i.e. Okay. giving food shelf life, is called antibiotic.
Yes, that's
it's what it is. So you're eating antibiotics. And antibiotics in your gut are no bueno because you need biotics in your gut.
Right, exactly how it stays on the shelf for so long, which is kind of scary.
It's so scary.
Great that it can sit there, but it's still good. Yes.
No, it wasn't good to begin with.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's absolutely not food. Yes. So, right. When I saw that book, I'm like, okay, we're on the same page, Bruce and I.
Definitely. And there's so much more. Because then once you do the foods, and what I'm kind of working on a little bit in the background is some stuff with cooking and the way you can use that. I touch on the first book, but I found, you know, there's a simple way to take care of your mental health. If you're racing thoughts and all that, and you slow down to make a cool batch of sugar-free brownies or sugar-free cookies, you know, which you can do.
Yes.
It's fun. It calms you down by focusing on it.
Right.
And you end up with this wonderful treat and you end up in a calmer mental state.
Yeah.
And that's like a warrior tool, you know, example I throw in the book at the beginning. And it's the same thing. I love it because
there's another thing, little catchphrase that I just got was the effort is the reward.
Yes. Yes.
All the good things in life have the reward built in, right? So like if you go out and take your shirt off and show the neighbors your fat man boobs, right? And you're in the sun and you play with kettlebells for 45 minutes, right?
Right.
And maybe nobody sees you. That's good. But everything about that outside the fact that, you know, man boobs naked, ew, gross. Who's that guy? Right. Other than that, right? You're outside, you got your shirt off, you're getting natural light on your skin. That gives you vitamin D.
Yeah.
And that helps you sleep.
Absolutely.
The workout, obviously, is the reward because that's why you do it.
Yeah.
Right? So everything that you do that fits in this model where the effort is the reward, like going for a walk in the sun on a nice sunny day, maybe uphill, that effort is your reward. Right?
Yeah,
you don't have to ask for a cookie after that. You already got what you were getting.
Well, it goes into, it's the experience too. Like I was saying, and
totally.
And you're out, you run fresh into air, people,
right?
I mean, birds. We run into people good all the time. You take a walk. Yeah. In the park, you see people with their dogs, you get to interact.
Yeah.
You come back and you think, wow, like that was something I just built some time in, like you said, and yet I must've gotten 10 rewards, you know, on the way, like all this interaction.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about like, I know like another superpower for me was waking up in the middle of the night and then like just sitting there thinking all night.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that. Cause I like to compare notes with other warriors.
I love it.
So what do you do? What do you do when you wake up in the middle of the night and your mind's racing?
So it definitely happens a lot.
Absolutely.
And so one of the things is, I had to bring this up because of the name of your show, but one of my tools that I love to use is called Swerve.
Swerve is verb. Veer, swerve, so, that's same thing.
So the idea is, if I find my mind racing, is one of the things I do is actually, I just go swerve. I just literally say it. Now, obviously I'm not going to say it out loud if my wife's sleeping and you know somebody get upset.
I love
it. But basically, the idea is you break that train of thought and you give yourself that little pause. And you just say, that little pause is all I need to just stop obsessing a lot of times.
Okay.
And it's kind of like a lot of times what I do is one of the other tools of the warrior is these mindset rules.
Okay.
And some of these mindset rules are basically like certain truths that you can help, and they can help you keep out of trouble or they can help you respond better.
Okay.
Now, one of them is too, is to, one of the rules that I have, and it's in the first like 10, I actually have a book of 53 because again,
more
gotta
is
be
better.
Prepared.
Yeah. More is better.
But this first number 7 one says, focus your energy on the solutions, not the problems.
Okay.
Because a lot of times I find my racing thoughts, especially late at night ones, I am hooked on that problem.
Right.
And if I stop first off with that little swerve technique, or I just take that pause and I refocus on, wait a minute, I'm working on a solution, or maybe I have a solution, you know, it's right there in front of me. And it's that shifting, you know, it's kind of like you're saying life's going along and it veers.
Right.
But I intentionally veer it into the solution.
I get it.
I find that to be really helpful because a lot of times, now this is going to sound kind of funny, but a lot of times when it's 2 a.m. and you don't have a lot of that overhead baggage, I'll kind of call it, because you woke up, maybe you've been up for an hour, you know, ruminating on these problems. But a lot of times I get good solutions then too.
Totally. Oh, yes.
Especially when I focus on it. You know, I say, okay, what can I do?
Right.
And I'll say something like, well, I did take, you know, I did start, let's say that project, you know, or did start taking care of the finances a little the other day. Maybe I just need to focus again on it, put it on the radar.
Right.
You know, I let it go for 3 days. Of course, it feels out of control.
Mm.
So, yeah, that's my big couple things.
I love those. I've been doing that. Now,
excellent.
It took me a while to figure out that I was doing it as you were describing it. But yes, because like there was a couple of little things that I sort of discovered, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to a podcast and this sleep expert said, when you're laying there and you're thinking, you're actually really sleeping.
Okay. Yep.
This is a key and it's going somewhere else, but like I've got a chime clock. It's like a wind up small version of a grandfather clock. So it chimes every hour and every half hour.
Okay.
Right. So if I hear bong, bong, I know it's 2 a.m. Right.
Okay. Yeah.
And then I'll go, okay, shit. Now I'm awake. Right. I do what you just said. Right. I'll go, okay, what were we working on?
Yeah.
What do I want to do about taxes for next year? Whatever the problem is, right?
Right.
But I don't think about the problem. I think about what I'm going to do about it.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm working on solutions. But at the same time, I'm kind of trying to keep an ear out for how long it takes to hear three bunks.
Okay.
Right?
Gotcha.
Usually it's immediate, right? And then I know I'm kind of sleeping.
Yeah, yeah. It's that state of probably concentration.
It's more you're not really awake.
Yeah.
And you're not really sleeping. You're somewhere in between. You're kind of light sleeping and thinking, but you're definitely getting rest.
Yeah.
Right? So why I bring that up is because like most of the time you're worrying about worrying about worrying, right?
Right.
So,
right.
So that guy saying when you think you're not sleeping, you are, it's sort of like, that was like an emergency release valve for my anxiety, right? It was like, oh, okay. Well, if that's okay, if I'm actually sleeping when I'm doing that, which is probably true, maybe not always, but usually, you know, then I don't have to worry about worrying
or I gotcha.
Worrying while thinking, right?
Or you can flip it. The other thing I do sometimes too is that anxiety is I flip it because what I realize is anxiety, like these tough emotions. So anxiety, I'm filled with anxiety about something coming up in the morning.
Right.
But it's usually because I'm concerned about doing a good job.
Right.
And I'm like, all it's trying to tell me is put in the effort. Like you said, put in the effort, you'll get good results.
Right.
You know, don't let this slide. And I'm like, well, now I'm not so fearful of it because I know I'm going to show up. I'm going to do a good job. You know, I got my things ready for a meeting or something. And it's kind of a neat way to flip it. You're just like, hey, thanks for anxiety, like giving me a heads up.
Right.
Like that I'm worried, but I'm going to move on.
I'm prepared. Right.
Yeah, I'm prepared. So
I'm ready. Kind of neat. Yes. Yeah. Actually, all of your, once you flip the script on what your emotions are for and that they're there to help you.
Yes, absolutely.
They're always there to help you. Right. And you can talk to them. Hey, anxiety, how's it going? What do you need?
Yeah, it's true though.
Yeah.
Because I found like with bipolar, it sends you into depression for no reason. And that's just part of it.
And
things will go great. And I mean, literally like something will go great online. I'll finish something, get a good kudo. And 10 seconds later, I'm like, bam, I'm in depression. And I'm like, whoa, what just happened? But then I'll ask it, you know, I'll kind of sit there and say, okay, am I really depressed? Is it something I should really worry about? Maybe it's bringing to my attention something.
Right.
Or a lot of times then I just need to sit there and say, wait, I know it's trying to push me in that direction, but I'm doing really good today. And look what you have done. Right. And again, like before, we weren't aware of things. We just kind of ran through life.
Yeah.
And now I'm more aware. So I use it to like push back, like you said.
The awareness is huge.
Yeah.
Because you have, like, I'll give another example. Like a good example would be like, geez, I'm feeling depressed and I don't know why. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Just having that awareness, because usually without the awareness, you'd just be depressed. You wouldn't have the question in your head saying, geez, I'm feeling depressed. How come?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You're questioning it. Right. You're questioning it. And you need that awareness to do that. And, you know, the other thing is, you know, I went through a whole lot of time, like on airplanes, so to speak.
Okay.
And, you know, my wife, she's from Japan, so we have to go back to Japan like once a year.
Wow.
That travels a lot.
Yeah.
Right? So I spent, you know, probably better part of 30 years every time I'm on that plane. Like in my mind, I am like screaming at the world. You know, I'm just so angry that I'm not in bed.
Right.
And obviously nobody can hear me screaming in my brain, right?
Right.
I'm just lashing out at them. Just let me go to bed.
Yeah.
So then I was like, you know, I don't have to do that. Right. I can just, you know, choose to be okay. Because that screaming in my head is not going to get me in bed any faster.
Exactly.
There are things that can get you in bed faster.
Yeah.
It's called planning.
Right. I love it.
You know, instead, like, so like when we land in Japan now, we make a plan so we can get off the plane. Obviously there's blah, blah, blah. You get off the plane. There's always stuff to do.
Yeah.
But as soon as possible, get to a hotel and go to bed.
Okay.
Regardless of what time it is. It's better if it's dark.
Right. Yep. You're doing a reset.
You have to. You can't expect to function. I can't. Right. Anyway.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I'm also telling myself that I'm okay. Right.
Yep.
I'm on the plane. Yeah. I'm tired. I'm dehydrated. I'll have a little water. I'll go splash some water on my face. I'll do some push-ups if I can, or you know, do a little exercise. And then I'll go watch some more movies, and I'm all right. You know, whining about shitty situations in your head to no one doesn't make the shitty situation go away. That's what I learned.
Yes, that is true. That is true. And I'll tell you one of the things now. I'll veer into that little bit of shameless promotion here again. Sorry.
Please.
But I'll say it up front. But anyway, one of the things was, you know, you're walking around during the day, and we talk about that, where you need something or it's a reminder. So I created a mental health warrior challenge coin.
Now, okay.
Having worked with the military, I knew what the challenge coins were for.
Right.
And the idea of I got through a challenge or I served somewhere and, you know, that type of representation.
Right.
But also it's like it's a symbol of look at my strength, you know, because maybe I went through or served somewhere. So I created and I have a couple of them out now because the idea is I want something tangible because obviously I can carry my books around. But what do I do when I'm just going to around town and I'm stuck in a meeting or something? You carry this coin.
Right.
And the idea is you can hold it in your hands. You can fidget with it if you need to because, you know, it's a good way to get rid of energy.
Yes.
But like it reminds you that you're a warrior. And it has a motivational saying to give you some motivation on the back. One of them is the one mindset rule, respond, not react. And that's I find that to be a great one to just glance at on the coin sometimes and go, that's a good thing to do next. Like I'm about to enter into a tough situation or, you know, life is throwing a bunch of challenges. Like you were saying, I got to make a decision. What am I going to do?
Mm.
Give myself that little okay to take a pause.
Right.
And I always get a better answer. You know, it's just, whew, thank God I got a second there.
Whenever you think you've only got two choices, you're always wrong.
Exactly. And you can always consider more, but we need that time.
Yes. Yeah. Well, the third choice is just wait.
Yeah.
You know, you know, there's very few red wire, blue wire situations in most lives.
Right.
You have to cut the wire. The world is going to explode. Not every decision is that.
Yeah. I love that analogy. That's awesome. I never thought of that. I love that analogy because you're right. You start thinking it's that two wires.
Right.
And you're like, wait. That's a financial challenge. And yes, it needs to be paid or figured out, but you're right. They're not at my door. They're not standing there right in front of you. They have a few minutes. Woo.
There's no timer.
Exactly.
Yes, so, right.
Anyway. Yeah, so you're right. It's again, another way to remind yourself it's important. And I just thought it'd be great to have a little tangible reminder. It's something I use each day and carry around. And it's just another way, like you're saying, to be kind of like make yourself aware of things and give yourself those options. Cause you're right. So many times life, I mean, you pick up your phone and it's buzzing every 3 seconds cause you got some notification about something.
Yeah. Turn that sometimes, shit off.
Yeah. You just need to put it down. Like you're saying, take that pause because you're like, I'll get to that. And I know that text is important, but again, if I can give myself a literally 3 second break, I'll have a better answer.
You know, we've been talking for almost an hour now. And my phone has been on do not disturb.
Okay.
Sometimes I just leave it there.
That's perfect. I love it.
And there's sleep mode now built into all Android phones.
Yes. And
you can make it like so it will not bother you unless it's your alarm.
Yeah.
You know? Actually, and then if you really want to, I think you can like have like certain phone numbers push through for emergencies. Like,
yes,
I've got my mom on there, right?
Yeah.
If my mom calls in the middle of the night, I don't want to miss that call.
Right.
Right.
But I certainly don't want those others. Exactly. I love it. Yes.
Right. Yes.
Yep.
So, Bruce, this has been a blast. So talk a little bit more about how people get in touch with Bruce Shooter.
Okay. So it's the Mental Health Warrior Program.
Right.
The main website is BruceShooter.com.
Okay. Right. And it's spelled Bruce the ordinary way. And then German Shooter. So it's SCHUTTER.com.
You got it. So type in that, type in the name, type in Mental Warrior Program. It'll drive you to those sites. And the one thing I want to call out and remind people all the time is I created a free ebook to get everybody started on being a warrior. So it's actually 48 pages, and don't get overwhelmed, but it's tools and tips and background. Yeah, it's pretty much like half a paperback book, right. But it'll get you going, and it'll explain the warrior concept. And I just want to say there's tools in it you could start using the minute you get that book. So
right.
I drive people to the website and say, go there, because not only will you see all of the pieces and parts of the program, and you'll hear some more about my story, but you can get started with this free book. And we're excited to get it out to everybody. Because we feel like it's a neat way to give them tools too.
Yeah. You know, and mental health is for everybody. You don't have to have a diagnosis. Like I've never been diagnosed with anything other than stupid. And that comes from my wife.
I get those comments too. So you're not alone. We're sharing that.
But we're all undiagnosed humans, you know?
That's right. Yes. That's right.
And
so it doesn't matter,
Bruce,
right.
for coming on and going through the shit and then coming out and smiling about it and sharing and being so open. That's cool. We need
thank
more
you.
Bruces.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate this.
All right, brother. You have a good one.
All right. Thank you very much. All right.
Thanks for taking the time to ride along with us on another episode of Vroom Vroom Veer. For podcast info and show notes, be sure to head over to vvveer.com. That's VVVER.com. Man, that's fun to say. And we'll catch up with you next time here on Vroom Vroom Veer.